Marion McPartland's Piano Jazz is known for intimate conversation about the world of jazz and the characters that inhabit it. So who better to take the guest chair than Gene Bach, the director and writer of the Oscar-nominated documentary A Great Day in Harlem, a 1994 film about one of the most iconic images in jazz, taken on an August morning in 1958. Nearly 60 musicians gathered on a Harlem stoop to pose for this group portrait taken by photographer Art Kane. Although he had never taken any professional photographs, Kane was a dyed-in-the-wool jazz enthusiast and suggested that a group photograph be taken in Harlem, the cradle of New York jazz. This photo epitomizes the schmoozing disorganization and innate coolness that was present for those few hours. Never before nor since were so many jazz legends in one place. It is amazing that so many were there, since jazz musicians are night creatures. And one musician at the shoot was heard to say that he was astonished to discover that there were 2 10 o'clocks in each day. This famous photo was published in Esquire magazine in the January 1959 issue and has gone on to take many other forms, including being the star of Gene's film. As you listen to today's program, you can find Art Kane's photograph of A Great Day in Harlem, along with more information about the famous image at pianojazz.npr.org. Gene Bach has been a passionate jazz fan since he was 18 years old, hanging out with Duke Ellington and Roy Eldridge. Gene's credits include jazz journalist and radio producer, as well as a dear friend of Marion McPartland. Let's listen now as Marion and Gene talk about musicians in the photo, and Marion plays some excerpts from past piano jazz shows when they were her guests.
Gene, welcome to Piano Jazz. Wonderful.
Thank you, it's going to be fun being on the other side of the microphone.
The film that you made is just priceless, and you have all the musicians who were in the picture, but who were also on my show.
Yes, most of them were, that's true.
We have quite a gathering there. Benny Golson and Hank Jones, Dizzy Gillespie, Mary Lou Williams, Milt Hinton, Jerry Mulligan, and Roy Eldridge.
He came just before Dizzy, and just after Louis Armstrong. So I think he was always kind of miffed that he didn't have his rightful place in history, but he certainly influenced a lot of people.
I used to see him all the time at Jimmy Ryan's. I would go there when he was playing, and I would sit in. And I remember one night he said to me, "Mary, don't get too thin. I like chicks with them big legs." Oh. Isn't that a typical royal?
Oh, God, yes.
We had him on Piano Jazz.
I want to ask you something about things they did years ago that nobody, I don't think people, kids or musicians today even know what you're talking about if you talk about a cutting session. Remember when they had that, where people would go and sit in and really cut somebody to ribbons with their playing?
Yeah.
Tell me some of the people you got involved with in these things.
Oh, I got a real dressing down. You know, Rex Stewart was working in my brother's band, Eli Serenaders. That's before I was playing professionally. And he stayed at our house, and he showed me a couple of riffs. And when Fletcher's band would come to town, he would always bring me and let me sit behind him and show me where he was reading, you know. And by this time, I'm in New York, and I'm working at Small's Paradise. And he came down, and I want him to hear me, you know. You're just like a father to me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was standing off the side, and I was signifying because I thought I could play, really. Because I'd spend 8 or 9 hours a day. I had a lot of technique, but I didn't have no kind of heart. I spent all my time learning technique and chops, you know. So Rex picked up the other guy's horn, was in the bandstand. He played a little bit. He said, "I'll meet you at the rhythm club." So Fletcher's band was a real signifying band, you know. Once that something starts like that, they're going to get on the underdog side, you know. Every time I'd play, they would make like I really, really played up a storm, you know. And Rex, they wouldn't make no sound at all. And Rex was getting madder and madder, you know. And I was getting embarrassed because this is the cat I idolized, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They had a thing that they used to do in New York then. If you play in your course, I'll stomp on your last 8 bars. That means I'm coming
okay.
in. So I stomped on Rex. And I screamed a G, about my highest note, G and an A, I could get an A out.
Mm-hmm.
But I never thought about B flat.
Mm-hmm.
And Rex stomped on me, didn't let the other guys, and he screamed the loudest B-flat I'd ever heard in my life. And I'm telling you, it scared me. Yeah, I put my horn down. I said, that's B-flat. How did he do that, you know? So I just put my horn in the case, and I was almost in tears, really. And I told the other cats, you can't play as high as me, so you might as well give it up. And that was the end of that contest. But I caught him 2 years later, because I knew, I remembered what he didn't do. He hit that note, but he never played up there and played down and went back up again. And when I met him the next time, I could play up to B flat and play up and down. So I got him that time. So the next time after that, neither one of us played waiting for the other to do something.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, back to the music. How about I Want a Little Girl? You sing that one and I'll play it for you.
That'd be nice.
Okay?
I'd dig that better. I want a little girl to love a lot. I give her everything I got. Just a little girl to fall in love with me. Oh, baby, can't you see? I want a little girl. She don't have to look like the girl in the picture book. But if she can cook, she'll fit me to a tease. Well, she don't have to wave her hair or dress in fancy clothes.
Roy, as you know, played louder and higher and faster and everything than anybody else. And the terrible thing about him was he always wanted to win. And he'd go into a room where they're having a jam session, and he'd hit a couple of notes, and everybody'd fall over. And it wasn't very gracious of him, but he and Dizzy would hang out and look for sessions. So one night they were going to somebody's place, and as they got there, Dizzy said, "Now, Roy, I'm going to go in first, and then you wait outside." Roy said, "What's that about?" He said, "Because as soon as you get there, you don't know how to act."
He was the guy that said to Roy Eldridge, "Hey, Roy," and made him turn his head away in the photograph, right?
That was a trick. He was playing a trick on poor Roy, who didn't get his picture in the magazine. But that was just his thing. He just was a prankster.
We had Dizzy on Piano Jazz, and he played the horn, and he played piano, too.
Oh, that's great. You know, he advised all the musician friends of his to take up the piano, and they would explain that they didn't play too well, but that Dizzy told them that if they were going to be playing music, they had to learn the piano. And
well, that's certainly a good thing to do, and it certainly was good that he learned the piano.
Yeah. Tell him, you and Thelonious Monk. That's hilarious.
Well, I guess people might like to hear this, that I met Monk on the street and invited him to the Hickory House because I wanted him to hear my version of some of his tunes. So he came in with a friend of his, and they sat in a bat booth, and they talked and talked.
While you were playing?
Oh, yes. They didn't listen at all. And then they at the end of the set, they walked out and left me with the bill.
That's perfect.
That serves me right for being an uppity chick. You know, I shouldn't have done that.
But you have an anecdote out of it, so it's worth it.
Yeah, I suppose so. But I did like Monk, and I guess he liked me because he once, the next set time he saw me, he said, oh, you look marvelous. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, maybe he's trying to make up for the hickory house. To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from Save America's Treasures, a partnership between the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Parks Service, Department of the Interior, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.